Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So it is with the resurrection of the dead. Unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it cannot bear much fruit. But I thought that all flesh is evil. I thought that there was nothing good, nothing redeemable about the body. I thought that life is a pain and then you die. I thought that we were condemned to groan under the burden of this morbid flesh until we could make our escape through a blessed death. So how can it be a good thing to raise up the body? Oh, a glorified body, grant you. Not this partially torn rotator cuff, pudgy, hitching my giddy up 39-year-old body I have been afflicted with. No, a glorified body. But still a body, flesh and blood, a bodily resurrected body. Why not a spirit? Why not just a spiritual resurrection? Unless there is something about the body that is good, that is redeemable, perhaps even holy. Deaconesses, you who will receive your placement today, and those of you who look forward to receiving a placement in the future, much, if not in most cases, much of what you're called upon to do, what you'll be sent out to do, is to carry out ministry to the needs of the body. It's an ancient, time-honored, and godly thing you will do. To hold the hands of the sick and the dying, to hold the head of the drug addict and alcoholic as they wrench their addiction back into the gutter where you just pulled them from, to hold the arm of the elderly as they totter toward the everlasting gates, to hold the sobbing pregnant teen outside the abortion clinic, to hold, to support, to nurture, and to care for the body. Why? Why bother? Why bother with this fleshly, smelly, broken down shell unless there's something about the body? I mean, wouldn't it make more sense? Just let them suffer and die and get on with it. Let mankind escape and hide in their cave of asceticism and await their death, curse God and die. Move on, there's nothing to see here, nothing to enjoy here, nothing to be thankful for, nothing to look forward to except dying. Indeed, ladies, you may as well exchange your blue, navy blue garb as Sisters of Mercy for the black, with some sort of sinister hood, so you can become agents of death. Unless, of course, there's something about the body. Flesh is perishable, but it's raised up imperishable. Flesh and blood tend toward the dishonorable, but it's raised up in honor and glory. Flesh is weak, it's raised up in power. Why? Why bother? What is it about this body that demands redeeming? What is it about this flesh that Christ, that God is mindful of it? What is it about our flesh and blood, this earthly sack, that God calls upon us to soothe its afflictions, to bind up its wounds, and to care for its needs? There is something about the body. The first Adam created a living being, molded from the very earth by the very hands of God. And the very breath of God breathed into him, making him a living, fleshly, earthly creature. Created in the image and the likeness of God, he is the crown of all creation. Perishable, weak, dishonorable, yes, we are. So is the stain of sin upon the body. So is the corruption upon the fleshly art of God. We are dust. We bear the image of the man of dust, and unto dust we shall return. But there is another Adam. The second Adam. The last Adam has come. Curiously, he came in the flesh. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, become flesh to redeem the flesh, his incarnation, his earthly fleshly journey, his suffering, his agony, his bloody death, in order to bring life to body and soul, to bring body and soul, rescuing them from the pit. And this most certainly tells us that there is something about the body. Jesus Christ, his ministry to the sick, to the diseased, to the hungry, to the outcasts, his work with lepers and prostitutes, his washing of the feet, his ministry to the body, his ministry to flesh and blood calls us out to do the same. And in fact, indeed, it is true that these afflictions of the flesh, these weaknesses of the body, show us Jesus. Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty or naked or sick or in prison? Truly, truly, I say to you, just as we bear the image of the man of dust, so shall we also bear the image of the man of heaven. There's something about the body. Indeed, Christ Jesus shares with us his very body and blood in the Blessed Sacrament in order that forgiveness, life, and salvation might be ours. Forgiveness of sins, life restored, salvation assured, both body and soul nurtured. The body. Life is not always rotten. Despair does not always reign. Life is full of the good and gracious gifts of God to be enjoyed in the body. The body is much more important and is to be treated more important than some sort of boat anchor, some sort of fleshly burden that we must rush out to shed. And because that is so, Ministry to the needs of the body is a sacred task as combined with the care of souls. There's something about the body, something good, something worthwhile, something holy. For the last Adam has come into our flesh to redeem both body and soul. And so it is. And so it is with the resurrection of the dead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, greetings to you all. In the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I want to certainly, first of all, thank Professor Poles for his wonderful sermon. In fact, I was surprised at how good you were today. In fact, he's so good that I feel a little bit wrong even trying to make a joke about it. He did it. Your words are deeply, deeply appreciated. And from his words, I'd like to begin with some other words. Fire and cross, and battles with wild beasts, mutilation, mangling, wrenching of bones, the hacking of limbs, the crushing of my whole body, cruel tortures of the devil, let these now come upon me, only let me reach Jesus Christ. Sounds like one preparing for the seminary experience. In fact, this is what we really mean by forming servants in Jesus Christ. In fact, perhaps our graduates now feel a bit theologically mangled and mutilated, wrenched, hacked, and crushed. I kind of like those verbs. Of course, if you remember your church history, and I'm sure you do, you know that these words belong to an early Christian martyr as he faces his destiny in the Roman Colosseum. And perhaps they are words even appropriate to this day. For whatever else we seek to do at this seminary, we are in fact preparing students to be martyrs, to be witnesses, who do not merely think or even speak about Christ crucified, but seek to live it out in flesh and blood. I think this is the reason placing students to serve the church has such great significance on this campus. Today is not just a happy day, it is a solemn day, a day of thanksgiving to God and of prayer. And so it is with profound thanksgiving to God that I now announce these deaconess placements. So ladies, please come forward at this time. As they now make their way forward, I want to offer my sincere thanks to those who have been a great help to our deaconess program. Certainly, Professor Poles and Dr. Reynolds for their aid in placing students, Marcia Zimmerman and Nancy Raber for their clerical assistance, Deaconess Chris Hodge and Deaconess Rosie Adel for all of their work with our students, and especially Deaconess Amy Rass, my associate director, who has become so essential to the formation of our students. Let us say she brings a kind of gentleness to the task that is not exactly one of my strengths. I do a bit more of the mangling and the mutilating. She does a bit more counseling, soothing, that kind of thing. But for all these individuals, I certainly appreciate all of their work on behalf of our students. Today we are announcing the placements of 6 deaconess students. The placement process for deaconesses is a bit different from pastors, and the deaconess placements can really take place any time of the year. And so these placements are announced that we announced today are at different stages. Some have already taken place over the past months. Some are now taking place. Some are still in process, which simply means that while the call is coming, we simply await a final approval. Well, with that introduction, the announcement of deaconess placements is as follows. Stephanie Ayakute, Peace Lutheran Church, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Indiana District. Joanna Barnes, Bethel Lutheran Church, Bryan, Texas, Texas District. Crystal Neuendorf, call in process, LCMS Office of International Mission, Dominican Republic, Central America, Missouri District. Danelle Putnam in absentia, LCMS Office of International Mission, Dominican Republic, Central America, Missouri District. Caitlin Worden, call in process, LCMS Office of International Mission, Peru, South America, Missouri District. Finally, Catherine Ziegler in absentia, LCMS Office of International Mission, Dominican Republic, Central America, Missouri District. Well, that concludes the announcement of deaconess placements. May the Lord bless you and your service to the church. Thank you.